Thank you, Brother Tim. Since the testimony meeting this afternoon, we had the special baptismal service. I asked Tim if we could do some testimony meetings tonight for the Vesper service, so have some testimonies. So we're going to do that. I had not prepared, I came prepared to try to pull some special singing together if it was necessary, but mostly prepared to share some congregational singing. And so we're going to do that too. So basically we're going to have a praise and testimony meeting. And if any of you have a special song that you would like to sing in this process, we'll be glad to do that too. This morning, I think, I know I was a little nervous, and I forgot to bring the love of your brethren in Los Angeles. And so they did send their love along. Also, the Wednesday night class with whom we meet sent their love especially to all of you. And we're happy to bring that. Before I go any further, I was thinking about the story also that I shared with you this morning about the empty egg. And that story apparently was told by Paul Harvey on his radio broadcast. So all, those of you that are in the Midwest know Paul Harvey. And if you're from California, you've never heard of Paul Harvey, probably, unless you travel through the Midwest. But, you know, those of you that know Paul Harvey know that now the rest of the story, you have that too. And I was thinking there was a piece of the story that I forgot to tell. And that was, and this makes me believe that it must have been a true story. The young man with Down syndrome, like so many of those unfortunate youngsters, have other health kinds of problems, and apparently he did. And the rest of the story was that the following summer, the young man died. And so that when his classmates and his teacher attended the funeral, they laid empty eggs on his coffin in symbol of the resurrection. And so that was a nice thought to think about too, as sad as parts of the story are. The one of the things I wanted to share with you this evening is that, and some of you may know this, but we've been working on what we call our hymn book project. We're in the process of redoing the hymn book, and it's going to, to a large extent, it'll be the same as our current hymn book. This is under the auspices of the Dawn, of course, and this is, with the advent of modern technology, this is being done in a broad spectrum across the United States. And one of the hymns that we had passed out to you, you'll see, is hymn 303, and that's more or less what the hymn will look like. Photocopies never look quite as good as a printed copy, but those look pretty good. And if you want to take a look at it, you could lay that hymn 303 beside hymn 303 in the existing hymn book, and you'll see the difference. The hymn that we passed out to you will be pretty much the size of the pages of the new hymn book, and any clarity differences you see will be pretty consistent, I think, throughout the hymn book. And so we're kind of excited about it because we've been working on this project going on 2 years now. It took us a lot longer than we ever dreamed when we entered the project. And I think what brought this about was that the Dawn decided that they had to reprint the hymns. The old plates from which they printed the hymns were pretty worn, and the last time they printed the hymn book even, you can see the results of that. It's not bad, but there's a lot of imperfections in the pages. So when they made it known that they were going to reprint the hymn book, Brother Tim Krupa, I think in particular, had in mind that it was time to to retypeset, if you will, but to do it electronically via computers, these hymns. And so that's a project that we've been working on. And what happens is that brethren in Orlando, Florida, Janice Kinsley primarily, and also Cheryl Goodman, those were the two that did most of the computer work, I think, together with the help of Bob and Ernie and a few of the other brethren down there in Orlando. They did the computer work that set the notation. So all of the notes that you see on that, they pretty much did that. It's very labor intensive. Basically, every note gets put in there with their computer keyboard with this music program that we have to do this. So a lot of the initial time spent was learning the program, obviously. And the more you work with the program, the better you get at it, and it would move a little faster. Lo and behold, with modern technology, you know, you can play the keyboard, and that goes into a digital format. It's called MIDI, and that notation can go into the computer, too. And it's not perfect, but it saves a lot of the individual note setting, and then you go back and clean it up. And lo and behold, our brethren in Poland had done a lot of that. And so once we found out about that, we said, ship us the those songs, and then we'll do the cleanup work on it. And so they did that to Orlando, and that made a difference, too. It sped up some of the work. Then when they finished the notation, they sent them via email, electronic email, to us in California, and we then started setting the syllables. So syllable by syllable, the lyrics were set in here. Now, they didn't have to totally be done syllable by syllable initially. They didn't have to be typed in because you may or may not know that the Hymns of Dawn are already typed in a database. And so we were able to take that, and then with one click of a button, we could click on the first note, and then it would go syllable by syllable and align those to the notes, pretty much. First of all, though, Hymns of Dawn are not divided syllables by syllable. We had to go into that database and then put a little hyphen between each of the syllables, and then it knew where to divide the syllables. But even then, it wasn't perfect, and we had to go back and clean it up. We had to align the syllables. We had to shift them, and it's pretty minute work. It's tedious, long work. But the vision, again, you know, if you have this vision, you work towards the accomplishment of that, and it's been an exciting project. It's nearing the end. As we would do this, of course, we would make some mistakes in putting in the syllables. And in some cases, we probably even messed up the music a little bit. So the first step, of course, was to get it proofread. And so it was shipped back to Steve Yike in Orlando, Brother David Duran in Kentucky. He's a professor at the of music there at the university, and Joy Candle in Chicago. And each one of those meticulously proofread the music and made notations and then shipped their edits back, and so we've just about finished the first round of edits. We've shipped them out for a second round of edits. Hopefully they come back with less mistakes on it, and we're getting pretty close. And the deadline, and we think we're going to be able to keep this, is that we'll be able to give it to the Don for printing so that the books will be able to be distributed at the General Convention this year. And so that's our goal and our deadline. And I know some people have been waiting for new hymn books. They've had orders in for probably well over a year and have been put off because there are no old hymn books in stock. And the Don has made the commitment that they will furnish free of charge as many hymn books as you need for your class. So they won't, at no charge for your class. Now, they won't be able to supply for individuals for weeknight studies at their homes and so forth like that. But for the classes around the country, they've made that commitment. The numbering of the hymns stays pretty much the same. The words in the hymn, there were a few changes. The word rapture, for example, is kind of a hymn that is a word that we kind of steer away from. And so when some of the older hymns would have that word in it. And there are things like that, a few word changes, but not a lot. One of the things that happens is as we spread out the lyrics, one of our goals we had was to make it more legible so that when you read it, you didn't have to squint to read it and those kinds of things. But we were given parameters that were not a whole lot bigger page than the existing hymn book. And in fact, it's only about an eighth of an inch to a quarter of an inch bigger, either wide or lengthwise. You could take that current hymn and lay it on top, and you're going to see that it lays out there pretty much, and so you'll have a slightly bigger margin, but not too big, too much bigger. And so given those parameters, it was pretty tough. But as we went through, we found that if we took some of the hymns were just too crowded. And so if we took them to two pages, boy, did it make all the difference. Now it looked like a work of art. It looked like a piece of music instead of just crammed on a page. And so we did that. So the new hymn book will be outer dimensions pretty much the same, but we've gone to two pages for some hymns. We've gone to a full page for some hymns. There's no cases where we have a page where you have a hymn up above and a hymn down below, or a hymn down below that continues to the next page. Every hymn either has its own page or is spread over two pages, and that means the hymn book is about half again as thick as this is. So that will be one change. And in the process of doing that, one of the things you never think about until you get involved in a project like this is, you know, if you have a hymn that starts on the right-hand page, and then it goes to two pages, well, you don't want to have to flip the page to finish singing the hymn. So you have to scoot that hymn over to the next page, and you can't have a blank page. So what do? You add a new hymn. Now, that apparently has been done with our hymn book before, because that's how you probably got 12A and 306A and 312A. Somebody along the line, when they reprinted the hymn book, redid the layout, and they needed a filler hymn. And pretty much we know that as we use our hymn book, we know that the hymns are in there in alphabetical order by first line of the hymns. But if you look at some of those hymns that were inserted, they're out of alphabetical order, so that will happen. So the Don's in the process of making some decisions. There's about 15 new hymns that will be added in that neighborhood. And there's problems. Everybody's got their favorites. Everybody would like to see Abide With Me, 'Tis Eventide, or something like that. But hymns are copyrighted. And so you have to make sure you get permission for some of those hymns. It turns out that if a hymn is set over 75 years old, you can use it. There's no more copyright on it. But how do you find out how old a hymn is? How do you find out? And it's not easy. It turns out that the Mormon hymn books, the Mormons have done a pretty good job. You can look at their hymn book, and they give credit down at the bottom. And every hymn, you can, if the writer of the hymn died in 1898, you can be sure it's over 75 years old, you know. Or if it's a more modern hymn, they give credit to who the writer is and so forth. And obviously, they've gotten permission. And I think it's not an insurmountable hurdle for the Don to get permission if they wanted to. But one of the hymns that I handed out this evening that I would like for all of us to sing is In the Garden. That's a favorite hymn, and yet that's a copyrighted hymn. And I'm not sure that would be a hymn that would be able to for us to get in the hymn book. Let's take the time, though, to sing In the Garden at this time.
Thank you.
I'm enjoying leading songs with Sister Arlene playing the piano because she's playing the beats like they're written, not how we usually sing them. And that's one of the things that we've noticed in this hymn book project is, as we've gone through it, we've discovered that they don't get played. We have our kind of traditional ways of playing these hymns, and they're not the way that they're written. And in some cases, there was an executive decision that it is so common to have sing it and play it that way that they rewrote the notation because that's the way everybody plays it. You know, if you can't lick them, join them kind of thing, yeah. So in other cases, it's going to be a lot more clear. It's clear, more clearly written, and it's written in a way so that the spacing of the notation is what we call beat spacing. So a half a note gets this much space, and then the quarter note gets its corresponding amount of space. And so it's going to look funny maybe at first to some people because it looks like there's gaps there, and yet it's correctly written by beat spacing as opposed to being crowded all on the page. And hopefully we'll be playing and singing them more like they were intended originally. Well, anyway, enough of that. We've had a blessed day. We've had some wonderful studies, had a wonderful baptismal discourse, and I think we have a lot to be thankful for and to testify about. So I'd like to give the opportunity for anyone to testify at this point. We have a roving microphone, so who would like to testify? Okay, we have Sister Harp, Sister Edith.
I'm Edith Harp from Cincinnati, Ohio, and I can't bear to see the time go by, and so I haven't collected my thoughts yet, but I thought I'd get up. I want to thank my Heavenly Father for the privilege of being here. I've been here before several times, and I must say that so far, this has been a very precious convention. My husband Bill wasn't here last year, and I was thinking today, I was so glad to be a part of this particular convention, and I was so thankful that Bill had been able to come and share it also. I was especially impressed by the meeting last night. I thought that was a very precious, a very wonderful way to start the convention. And then this morning, the talk was equally good, and another beautiful way to continue the convention. In the studies, I've been impressed at the different personalities of the three leaders and how we interacted with each other. That was a very good experience, too. And it was a special, precious convention for me because of the baptismal service, too. I think a baptismal talk always gives us an opportunity to renew our own consecration and to review what it's all about. And it takes us back to our first days in the truth when we made our consecration. And as I said, I didn't have time to collect my thoughts, but I want to thank the brethren here for the labors of love and for all the love. This is a small convention, but the love just oozes out of the walls. I've never been anywhere that I felt more love than here. And the love of the Heavenly Father, and the love of the brethren, and the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for this wonderful truth that we have to share with one another. And I've enjoyed meeting some of the brethren that I didn't know before, and especially some of the brethren that had newly come into the truth. And I bring the love of my son and his wife, Jerry and Debbie Moore from Milwaukee, and the love of our little group in Cincinnati, and the two sisters in Wellington, Eve Morgan and Frances Schofield. They follow the convention, and when we get the tapes, we take them back and give them to them. They're very enthusiastic about the brethren, about the truth, and so on. And I thank you all for your love and ask an interest in your prayers as I pray for all the brethren everywhere.
Thank you, Sister Edith. Appreciate that. We echo a lot of those sentiments. I think Carl had his hand up. John, yeah.
Brother Carl Hagel, here from Chicago. There are two things I wanted to testify about. One is provoked by your opening remarks. I'm very appreciative of the work that you and Tim and the committee have been doing on the new hymn book. I think it's going to be a great blessing to all of us to receive it. I was talking to Brother Tim about this at the retirement center, and we also have the privilege of working on a project right now when the Brother Jeff Mesra started called the Bible Student Library. It had the Harper Tooth database for some time with Brother Russell's writings, and this is to make available not just Brother Russell, but all the other books that are found in many Bible Student libraries, some couple hundred other books. And I was asking Tim, hoping to get permission to use the hymn book as one of the books, along with the music for it. So when you put on the CD-ROM, you actually hear the hymn play. And he thought that was very possible. So looking forward to that. We are putting some video on also the new Messiah tape, which I found very beautiful, and for this cause. So there'll be some chance to see the video on home computers for those who see it. That's a very searchable database. It probably would not be out until December in a semi-finished version. It'll be an ongoing project for 2 or 3 years as it'll be added to and probably end up being a 2-disc project. So that's been a great blessing to me. Been able to take the computers to the retirement center where we are. Jeff was consented to be there also, and with Jeff's supervision and the rest of us working, it's going along very well. We're very appreciative of that. Then I received a present here, and a present that means very much to me. But I was received it on the one ground that would tell the brethren a little bit about the present. It's something I have wanted for probably 40 years. And glad to have it now. You all see the brethren. It's sitting right behind, by the way, the chart on the wall. That chart behind is a lot of memories for myself, and Sister Berta knows history about it before my time. But I was very acquainted with that chart in the late early 50s when I was living in Washington, D.C. At that time, I was just a very new individual growing up to become a Christian, really hadn't fully made a commitment yet. I was about 17 years old, 18 years old, and an older sister took me under her wing like a child and guided me, Sister Elizabeth Bird. That chart was drawn by her sister. About 75 years ago, I understand. Roberto will tell you that part. But in the class in Washington, we had an elder who was my idol. I held him on a high pedestal, Brother George Walters. Brother Walters held a real estate business in Alexandria, Virginia. And Sister Hurd had given this chart to him and had him behind his desk. And he would average on the a 2 to 3 chart talks per day from this chart. Anybody who came out of that office got a chart talk. And he didn't have this offering. He would ask, "What is that behind you?" And when they would ask, he said, "Glad you asked." He would start explaining whatever part. He had an old rollaway top desk in his office. And he'd open that and he had a booklet on every part of the charts. Whatever you asked, then they went home with that booklet. Because they bought property or not, they at least got a witness. And that was always a great blessing to me. So when I attended Brother Walter's funeral, that was the last time I had seen the chart. And I wonder what happened to that chart. At this convention, Sister Berta said, "When you go home, take it with you." And I'll be very thankful to that. It's going to be a great blessing to me because it has, to me, the memories of how a life should be lived. I could go on and on about Brother Walters and his sacrifice and his life. But that was just one of his blessings to me. I'll let Roberta tell the other half of the story.
Thank you, Brother Carl.
I'll stand right there in the front. Nobody can Thank you, Carl, for telling us about that.
Anybody else? Roberta, the other half of the story. The rest of the story, yes.
Margie Heard gave it to me, and this is what she said. This will be useful to Rick. It came a number of years ago when it gets repaired, so you can see there's a few places that do need repairing. Grace and I are content for it to stay with the friends, so you please care for it and pass it on someday. This is the day. We'll get more details for you that should stay with the chart. Now, she never did send any more to me, but I imagine if we want her to, she will find out. Right now, what I know is my aunt, Louise Heard Van Ginhoven, made the chart for my dad, George Fitcher Heard. Date, she doesn't know. Don't know, maybe Grace does. I'll assume that my dad made talks in his 20s using the chart. So that's about it.
Oh.
So this goes with the chart.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Yeah. Nice background. Getting close to 80, yeah. If not 80, close to it, huh? Yeah. Amazing. Who'll be next? Sister Zindler.
I'm Gloria Farmer from Detroit, Michigan, and we've had a very nice season of convention and fellowship last weekend in Detroit. We had our pre-memorial convention, and the weekend before, I was in Columbus, and I was at the Don, and for another convention, and now we're here. So the Lord's been very good and very gracious to allow us to have all this spiritual food. And the Brethren at Convention of Detroit voted that their love be taken back to the classes that were represented there. And, well, I'm just taking the liberty of bringing it to you, too, here. I came from there, here. And I'm just really very grateful to be here. We've enjoyed this convention for the last couple of years. And we're very pleased and very happy to be back again. And grown to be very fond of the brethren down here as we've gotten to know you better. And we do love you and appreciate you and the Lord.
Thank you, Gloria. Appreciate that report and the love that you bring along. Thank you very much. You got some hands back in the back there.
Kent Humphreys sent his Christian love to everyone, and he missed this convention. He's not able to come, and he sent his love to everyone from Phoenix class. My name is John, Phoenix class. I had the privilege to bring his love. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother John. Appreciate you bringing the love along. Over here, John. Yeah.
Sister Kat Slavich from Dallas, Texas, and I'm very grateful to be here at this convention. I feel like all of the discourses and the studies have been especially designed for me for encouragement, and I appreciate the effort and the labors of love of everyone to put this convention together and enjoy being here so much. I'm also especially grateful and thankful that Billy symbolized her consecration today. She's very special to all of us. We love her dearly, and it was very special for Carl to be able to give that discourse too. So I think it's something I'll always treasure for you. I wanted to bring the special love of Betty Biggs, who is in Illinois with her mother, and celebrated the memorial with her mother in Illinois, and it was unable to be in two places at once. I think if she could, she would have been. And also I wanted to bring the love of several of the brethren in Fort Worth who we met with on Memorial Night, and they wanted their love thought to you, and also especially George and Ruth Wilmont wanted their love brought to the convention. So I didn't want to be remiss and forget that. And also my niece, Sarah Anderson Milanowski, and her husband, Tim Milanowski, wanted their love brought to the convention. So I want you to know that even though there are other brethren that aren't here, they send their love and long to be here with you.
Thank you, Pat, for bringing that load of love along. We're glad that you're here. Let's sing another song. You had 303 passed out to you. I'd like to sing that song. For those that will not be able to stay for that to testify. So this is a good opportunity if you know that you're not going to be able to stay for that echo testimony meeting. Are there any others? Sister Marge.
Well, dear brethren, it's good to be with you again. I enjoy the fellowship with you all and seeing ones that I've known and loved dearly for so many years, meeting others that I didn't know for quite so long, but it's always a big blessing. I feel kind of like the Israelites, that they never quite knew when the cloud was going to lift, know exactly where it was going to be. And so it's very interesting to watch day by day and just see how our Heavenly Father will lead, and hope that we follow His leadings properly. And I appreciate the prayers of so many of you. It really has sustained us through the years, the way the Lord has answered those prayers. I wouldn't have the nerve to ask the Lord for as much forgiveness in the way of blessings. It would be entirely on the order of this for me to ask for it. But so many have been praying for us, and the Lord has just graciously given and given and given. And one of the greatest things He's given has been the loving support of the brethren, the fact that they care. And that means a great deal. And I cannot say that we've had such a terrible trial. I can just say that the Lord has heaped blessings upon blessings, and there have been moments when I might think, oh no, not this. And then right away, I've learned through experience to correct it and rethink. What if there's this little irritation? What blessing is going to be following it? And I watch for the blessing. And it come along.
Yeah.
And so it really has been a blessed way. And if in this life only we had hope, I still have had more than my share of blessings in this life. And I'm very thankful for them. And you, brethren, are one of my big, big blessings. And I thank you all for your prayers and for your love. And the Lord bless and guide each one. May we be faithful. If it's this, we are on this side of the veil. Imagine eternity. It was total communication, able to reveal our inmost thoughts one to another. And it will be wonderful.
Thank you, Sister Marge, for sharing those. Those are wonderful thoughts. Anyone else? I have a sister here.
I'm Sister Charlene from the Fort Collins class, and I'm very thankful to be here. I've always wanted to come, and this year the Lord seeing to it that we made it. If I don't do this, when I go back, my brothers in Fort Collins are going to be mad at me, but they wanted me to send their love, and Sister LaVon Ehrlich wanted me to send her love to the brethren here. Sister Eldina Kenyon. Wanted me to send their love, her love. Brother Sid Bruns, who would love to be here, but he's getting up there in years now. He's 94, I think. I'm not sure about that, but he's in his 90s. He's a very dear brother to our group. Sister Gaylene Homolka from in Atlanta, who used to live with Brother Carl and Sister Marge, and she wants her love given to the brethren here also. From the Denver area, Sister Ruth Powell, Linda Beach, Helen Mark, Isabel Gablehouse, Jan Lewis, Camille Dubin, and Lana Turner. Or Lena. You can always pronounce it Lena. But it's Lena. And all these dear brothers and sisters really wanted us to mention their name individually and to bring their love to all of you. And we are so thankful that we are able to have a almost monthly mini conventions, we call them, with all the brethren that are around the area and those that are coming through to visit. So if you're ever in Colorado, I'll give you my phone number, and I welcome anybody into my home. We have lots of bedrooms, and you're welcome anytime.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the report and the love of the brethren. Thank you again. John? John up front here, we have Brother Rick. He's coming around.
I was going to say this for tomorrow, but then Brother Wade had to say that some of you won't be here tomorrow. The only thing that I want to say is I thank you all for being here for the class and for myself personally. But next year, if our calculations are correct, and I've tried to been checking out from various people, we'll be our 25th one.
Huh.
And it started from nothing to this. And Brother Carl can testify, he's been here to every one of them, except I think he missed one because someone changed calendars on him over time. But come help us celebrate, Lord willing, for our 25th.
Silver anniversary.
Thank you. Put it on your calendar next Easter.
Yeah. It's easy to remember. It doesn't move around. We don't have to wait for the announcement of the memorial to come out. I mean, Easter is Easter. It's usually set on those calendars a little bit more plainly, isn't it? So. Okay, I don't know if I'm taking liberty with time here or not. I don't know, but I want to give everybody a chance that wants to testify. Brother Tom.
Brother Tom Moore from Laramie, Wyoming Ecclesia. I want to bring the love of several sisters that we meet with. Sister Harriet Yates, who lives near, what's the name of that town? LaGrange, Wyoming. And Sister Smith, June Smith, sends her love. And that's just about it. Once in a while we see Edith Nolan, who now is in Casper. And she does was able to get out of a convalescent home situation and back to her own home, and is glorying in the Lord to being continuing her independence. In 1994, a very unfortunate accident happened to my son. Some of you are aware of that. He was in a motorcycle accident and suffered some brain damage. A follow-up on that was he is now currently living with his mother and is termed LTR, long-term recovery. There's still some physical problems. He probably will not work again. His quality of life is far shortened. But nevertheless, he did not have appreciation of the truth, but he is being taken care of, and that is in an answer to a lot of prayers from the brethren. In 1996, my wife had an unfortunate accident. She is here as a result of answer to prayer, and she has both use of her arms, which were broken in a serious accident. She is healed to the extent that she can be, and she, and all of this is an answer to prayer. And cards and many mailings and phone calls, and I look at it that it was a burden that we suffered, had to go through, but the brethren and the sisters were able to help us with this burden by giving us support and love. This is actually what happens in the sharing of the burden. You cannot be there to experience the pain or the suffering, but you can be there to give us strength and support and help us carry on. We are a small class. We are isolated. Continue to glory in the fact that there are brethren who are mobile and can come through and service, or that we can go to and experience fellowship. This is true with many of the isolated brethren throughout the West. We are continuing to look forward to full establishment in the kingdom, where all men's suffering and sorrow and sighing will pass away. I would like, as a further testimony, if it's possible, to read, I think it's in the manna, the back of the manna, about the picture of the kingdom and what it means for the world to come. Is there a manna in the house? There's a manna.
Are you thinking of the one that says, close your eyes for a moment? Does someone have that?
Close your eyes for a moment to the scenes of misery and woe and degradation and sorrow that yet prevail on account of sin. And picture before you your mental vision, the glory of the perfect earth. Not a stain of sin mars the harmony and peace of a perfect society. Not a bitter thought, not an unkind look or word. Love welling up from every heart meets a kindred response in every other heart. And benevolence marks every act. Their sickness shall be no more. Not an ache nor a pain nor any evidence of decay. Not even the fear of such things. Think of all the pictures of comparative health and beauty of human form and feature that you have seen, and know that perfect humanity will be of still surpassing loveliness. The inward purity and mental and moral perfection will stamp and glorify every radiant countenance. Such will Earth's society be, and weeping bereaved ones will have their tears all wiped away. When thus they realize the resurrection work complete. Revelations 21:4.
Thank you, Brother Tom. Appreciate you sharing that. We still have time if anyone wants for a last testimony. Brother Mars, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I should have remembered in my testimony to bring love, and I can't clearly remember all of them now, but I do want to bring the love of my daughter Joanna and the others in the household, and I want to bring love from Sister Jewel Swift and others, and love from brethren from our ecclesia and the Columbus Convention, and Sherelle, of course, from Moldova. She loves you very dearly. And those who have remembered her in prayer or who sent her a note or anything like that, she appreciates it very much. And thank you all for your love and support.
Thank you again, Sister March. Well, again, some of you will have the opportunity to testify at the ECHO meeting. It's ECHO Testimonies. So has a little bit different slant, but hope you'll take advantage of that opportunity. And at this time, we're going to turn it over to Brother Tim for closing.
Thank you, Brother Wayne. I have a couple of greetings I'd like to forward. My mother, Agnes Sprites, and stepfather Paul had planned to be here. In fact, Sandy had made airline reservations. And up until a couple weeks ago, they were planning to come, but because of health reasons, they be impossible to make the trip. So, much to our regret, they decided to cancel this time. But they send their love and wish to be remembered to you. And also this week I received a couple of email messages from Sister Donna Allers in Boise. I had heard last week while I was attending the Detroit convention that her mother was in a nursing home, Sister Lois Adams. That's what, Betty Biggs' mother's sister, am I correct? From Illinois. Some of you know Lois Adams. She's now in Boise and in a nursing home. And in fact, the Boise class held their memorial service in the lobby of the nursing home for Sister Adams on Thursday night. And Sister Donna says, I am recovering from hepatitis, not quite 100% yet, but much better than I was. Did you hear that Alan had shingles this winter? His case was light and he has recovered, for which we are grateful. When she wrote this on Tuesday, Alan was at the Dawn, but planned to return today to Boise. So she says, please give our love to the dear ones there in Albuquerque and at the convention. So I want to relay those greetings to you. We're going to ask Brother Jeff Mesra to read Songs in the Night, and then we'll ask Brother Wade to close in prayer and remind you that we begin tomorrow morning Cornyn program at 9 a.m. and Brother Dan Wessel will be your chairman tomorrow.
April 11th. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Psalm 1, 1 and 3. While the heights of perfection cannot be reached, so long as we still have these imperfect bodies, there should be in every child of God very perceptible and continuous growth in grace, and each step gained should be considered but the stepping stone to higher attainments. If there is no perceptible growth into the likeness of God, or if there is a backward tendency or a listless standstill, there is cause for alarm. Let us constantly keep before our eyes the model which the Lord Jesus set for our example, that model of the complete fulfillment of the will of God, in which the whole law was kept blamelessly. Let us follow his steps of righteousness and self-sacrifice as nearly as a full measure of loving zeal and faithfulness and loyalty to God will enable us to do, and we shall have a blessed sense of the divine approval now and the glorious reward of divine favor in due time. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Psalm 1, 1 and 3.
Shall we stand and have Brother Wade close in prayer?
Our dearly beloved Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy blessed and holy name. Dear Father, we come before thee with rejoicing hearts for the blessings of this day. We pray that thy Spirit would abide with us, that we might remain grounded and rooted in these blessed truths which thou hast given unto us, that our faith might remain steadfast, so that indeed we would bring forth fruit unto thy honor and to thy glory. Indeed, to thee be all the glory, Father. Our earnest desire is for thy kingdom to come, for thy love to be shed abroad in the earth, so that all mankind will know thee, from the least unto the greatest.
We wait before thee with that hope in our hearts, praying thy presence with us this night as we go to our abodes of rest. May the meditation of our hearts be continually upon thee and thy plans and purposes and how we might serve thee acceptably. For we wait before thee and we give thee praise and thanks for the unspeakable gift of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.